not knowing your home life schedule, what will get the most amount of viewing tonight? Tom Brady or Dodgers Giants? Game five, winner take all, the move to the NLCS.
Talking to me?
Yes, because you probably got to do some scouting here for your Bravos.
Yeah, I mean, the stakes are just higher in the NLDS versus Buccaneers, Eagles. I love football. It'll be on. I'll check in, but NLDS has my main attention tonight.
October has a tendency to bring in a lot of casual baseball fans that just can't make the commitment to a 162, but where every pitch seems to matter, and tonight will be even more. It'll be a juiced-up crowd at Oracle Park. Probably fans that'll be standing the entire game. You know, it'll be tense just because it's Dodgers and Giants, and they pretty much have been even all season long. And the Dodgers have, I think, won 6 of the 11 games that have been played by the Bay. You don't know what the elements are going to be like. Could be really, really cold. The wind could be blowing. I like the Dodgers. I like the Dodgers.
I also have an investment in the Dodgers.
As a futures?
Yes.
Okay. To win the World Series once again?
Yeah.
Is that going to pay off very much? What did you get it at?
I got it at, I don't remember the exact odds. They were... I think they were the second wild card when I picked them up. And I was like, this is probably going to play out better than it is right now.
Well, so. for us to go to Sizzler together, I hope I hope the Dodgers win the World Series. Now, the Giants would have, if you would have gone with a future on the Giants before the season began, they eclipsed their win total by 31.5 games. 31.5 games. They are probably a year ahead of schedule. And Gabe Kapler... coming from Philadelphia, you thought, whoa, what kind of a hire is this? And there's still not a lot of guys on the Giants roster that you could probably name. Buster Posey, Chris Bryant, and locally, you would say Darren Ruff, who the Giants have had trouble hitting against left-handers. Flores and Ruff have been good against that, but not in this series.
Evan Longoria.
Okay, Evan Longoria, and you wonder, man, is he still playing? What happened to him? I thought he was still in Tampa. No, nobody stays in Tampa that long.
I had that moment this year where, oh, that's where Evan is. Okay, good for him.
But I mean, Gabe Kapler's got to be the manager of the year, hands down, right? No discussion?
Yeah. They got a Yastrzemski there, don't they?
Yeah, they got Mike Yastrzemski. They got Gausman.
Look at me knowing about the Giants.
Hey, they have Logan Webb and his changeup, who will be pitching tonight. I still like the Dodgers, though. Because I think the Dodgers will be quicker to go to the bullpen. Max Scherzer won't come out of the pen, which is okay. You got a good enough pen. Unless you're in the 15th, 16th, 17th inning, you don't need to use Scherzer. I think they get it where Jansen is pitching to send the Dodgers to the National League Championship Series. And the loser goes home. If you're the Giants, well, I mean, nobody wants to lose. Nobody wants to lose. Because you know what people that want to lose are? Losers. But if you're the Giants and you lost in this NLDS of two teams that have 109 wins each, it would hurt initially and then you'd go, man, what a season. What a season ran up against the World Series champions. If the Dodgers lose, it's a waste of a season. I don't care if it's against the Giants. For the Dodgers, the expectations are to repeat. It'd be a waste of the season. And then everybody could turn their anger to Major League Baseball that why do we have these two teams playing this early? This should be the NLCS. Why don't we reseed? Manfred, you out there? Winner take all tonight by the Bay. 8:07 first pitch, so get the grandpa nap in. Jameson, the J-Man, has a comment or two on the Giants and the Dodgers. Jameson, how you doing?
Doing good, Gary, yourself?
Not bad. Congratulations to your Braves.
Thank you. That was an amazing job that you got down in Freddie Freeman Court going yard. Anything so awesome to see him get the good home run, you know, face the franchise and to the spirit of the parade, especially everything we've gone through the whole entire year. So now just waiting for him to see who wins. We take on here in the LCS and everything. So I just see who, you know, Giants Dodge. Hopefully they go 60 innings would be nice for tonight. That way they only one day of rest and they have to face us.
Selfish.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Giants Dodgers, it's going to be an interesting matchup all around. You know, Dodgers have kind of all my birds in the playoffs and everything. And yeah. Never really faced Giants that much, so
It's been a great year for the Braves. It's an amazing front office, and Snitker is your manager. To lose the Ozuna and Acuna and Soraka like you did and be playing in the NLCS once again, that's pretty impressive.
For sure. And if Alex and Top was not selected executive of the year this year, I don't know what the MLB voters or votes for that award is looking for, to be honest with you there, Gary.
Yep. I agree with you, J-Man. Everything else good?
Everything else good. I'm just ready, waiting for Huskers to take on Minnesota. And, of course, my Titans take on the Bills on Monday night. But everything else is real good.
Yep. J-Man, thanks for the call. What you're going to find out here, Josh, is that Jameson, who is a frequent caller to 1620 The Zone, long time. Everybody knows the J-Man. You two share a lot in common.
A Braves fan and a Titans fan?
Yes.
Did I catch that
yes,
at the end?
Yes, yes. Have you ever met Jameson before?
I have not. Yeah. I have also not met a Braves and a Titans fan.
That J-Man is a diehard. Made a comment once about the Braves. Phone rang right away. I thought we were going to fight. And I told him I'm a lover, not a fighter. But yeah, you guys have, that's an odd combination.
Very.
I understand the Braves, because people can understand the Cubs, because they were on TV all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the Braves and the Titans combo is a little bit strange to me. But that's okay. I mean, I like you. I mean, we're going to make it through 2 weeks.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Joe Bartle from RotoWire coming up at the bottom of the hour. I asked the question earlier in the show, the math to get to 6 for Nebraska to be in a bowl game, and they've got to make it a bowl game. You can't have the season end in your 5-7 and go, well, with that, the best talent, the best depth of talent in 4 years and not a bowl game, hard questions would be asked in the offseason. But the math to get to 6 before Black Friday is to win 3 of the next 4. Starts Saturday. There's Purdue in there. And there's a Wisconsin in there. But these are road games. These are road games. Nebraska in the last 18 games on the road, 4-14. Purdue, Rutgers, Maryland, Illinois have been places that they've won. This would mean going to Minneapolis. This would mean going to Madison. And if you drop one, then it gets a little bit tighter. But I said, if this is the year when Nebraska gets close to that signature win, but doesn't crawl over that. At the end of the season, Scott is 0-11 against ranked teams. But Nebraska is 6-6, and their season continues into December. How would you assess this season? With things that you have seen, where guys have gotten better individually, some warts, I don't care if you go and get the ointment or you get the little Band-Aid with the ointment on it that you put on a wart, or if you go to the doctor and they freeze it off. I had a wart issue when I was much younger, and they freeze it, and your hand looks gnarly. I know I'm now being really, really graphic. But even with warts, there has still been progress. How would you assess the season? So this has kind of brought an interesting response in the Equitable Bank inbox. Bill says, bad season. That's all he says. Bad season. Brian says, I would be mixed, because that would mean following your logic and your math, Fordham, Buffalo, Northwestern, Minnesota, Purdue, Wisconsin would be the 6 wins. There's no wiggle room on that. I'm reading the email. No, that's not what I'm saying. This would present me with an issue, because one of those wins would be over a team that has had their way with Nebraska, and it would be up in Madison. At the end of the day, I don't want to be 6-6, but I would consider that a successful season. Ted writes in, before I answer your question, can you tell me who's coming back next year? Because if you finish 6-6 and you're playing in a bowl game, and you have excitement and momentum, who's coming back to continue that to 2022? I cannot look in my crystal ball. I don't know. Whether a quarterback, cornerback, or tight end would all be returning. And some attrition. Are we expecting another year of running back attrition? What are the chances that Marquis Stepp plays this weekend? Savion Morrison. What are the chances that one of the five running backs right now don't return next year. Because if you're looking ahead, if you're starting to think about like spots next year, Teddy Prochazka is get healthy, get the knee fixed, is a tackle. He's one of your starting tackles. Lutowski has a good shot to be a first-year starting guard. There might be some guys here in the last five games that are playing for position for the 2022 team. Like, think about running back real quick. Gabe Irvin is going to come back. Gabe Irvin is going to be the one or the two running back next year, as long as he's fully healthy. Same thing with Prochazka. But Ramir Johnson has shown you he ain't going away. He ain't going from RB1 and 21 back down to 5 on the depth chart. Yant's not going anywhere. They just need to find a way for him to be in the mix. What happens with Stepp? What happens with Morrison? I mean, is Marvin Scott going to stick around? There will be one or two of those running backs that probably will not be around. But if you really want to start looking at the next five games of guys that have eligibility to return, there are some that are trying to play themselves into position when spring and 2022 roll around. I mean, there's no guarantee that Ramir Johnson, by the way, would be the starting running back in Ireland against Northwestern. We know how running back works. And I don't think the history right now in Nebraska tells you, you don't want to begin the year as the starting running back. Because by midway through the year, you're either out for the year due to an injury, Gabe Irvin, or you have disappeared completely. That's a weird thing that's going on with running backs, is the flavor at the beginning. In the middle of the year, we've completely changed what flavor there is at running back. Before we hit the break, again, Joe Bartle from RotoWire Fantasy Football coming up at 1:30 today. Usually he's in at 1. Joe's got some things going on, so we pushed him back to 1:30. Let's finish the hour with Steve, who's got an answer to my question on gauging the 6-6 season. Steve, thanks for the call. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Let's make things a little bit more complicated here.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you get a signature win. I wouldn't call Wisconsin a signature win the way they look this year. Let's say they beat Iowa, but they lose to Minnesota.
Ooh.
So you have losses to Minnesota and Illinois, but you got a win over Iowa.
Steve, this is complicated. You've thrown a wrench into this because now you know what? Now it's going to be win 3 of the last 4 games, and there's going to be a signature win in there, and they're probably, what are we banking on? That loss would be Ohio State?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would also show me, because it would be miserable to be 3-5 late Saturday afternoon. We agree on that?
Sure.
But then you would say, wow, they came out of the bye and they won 3 of the last 4, and they probably ruined Iowa's season at the end. That's good enough for me. Good, we're good, 6-6.
Okay, but trying to make progress here, what's more important, getting rid of bad losses or getting signature wins?
I would say there would be, oh, and Steve hung up. Because of the 2 in play, Fleck in Minnesota, Iowa probably having a magical season. Nebraska hasn't, week 0 has befuddled us all. There hasn't been that clunker yet. Saturday would be a clunker. But then if you told me at the end of the year that you'd ruin Iowa's season and didn't let a clunker of a loss affect you, I'm torn. It's right now the part of the Nebraska football program is you're torn, trying to figure out what everything means. Because you can spin this a bunch of different ways. Lost to Minnesota, man, 8 games in 8 weeks post-Michigan and that run of Oklahoma, Michigan State. Michigan took a toll, and it's Fleck, for God's sake. Then you told me that made it through the month of November and won back-to-back games in a short week against 2 teams that have had your number? Huh? Now that would be progress, that the team didn't crater after you would, if following this scenario, this is all hypothetical, everybody, that you would have lost to Minnesota. I said this, I've been saying this, Josh, you've only been with us for 2 weeks, but I know that you're a longtime listener. You were a first-time caller once, I understand. Is don't rush to judgment during the whole season. And when the season is over, when Scott Frost at Memorial Stadium is walking off the field on Black Friday, you will know everything there is to know about this football program, where they're headed. I even think in the scenario that Steve presented that we just walked through, you would have a lot of your questions answered. Definitely have a lot of your questions answered. It's a conundrum, is what the people in school used to tell me in this situation. All right, one more hour to go on a Thursday. We're going to circle back here about Ramir Johnson and the running back position, because there have been whiffs on running backs. Ramir Johnson was highly thought of coming out of high school. Now he's finally gotten his opportunity. But what does it say for the future at that position? And maybe we try and diagnose why the person that begins the year is knocked off the throne by somebody who, remember, Divine Azigbo was fourth on the depth chart. Ramir Johnson was fifth on the depth chart. And in two of the 4 years, those guys became the number one guy, and they didn't give it back. So what does that mean moving forward with the running back position? That if there is no attrition, that's a pretty deep room in 2022. All right, one more hour to go. That'll include a fantasy football segment. You still have time to get in your questions for Joe ahead of Week 6, which you'll hear the kickoff to Week 6 here on The Zone tonight between the Bucks and the Eagles from Philadelphia. This is Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.